Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio. It's our Tulane Tuesday segment. It's brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, the head coach of the Tulane Greenway, John Summerall. Coach, first of all, thank you for joining us and congratulations on the win Thursday night against Southeastern. I got coaches in my family and they always tell me this. Man, Mike, I love big wins, but I want a little bit of meat on the bone. I don't want it to go to the head too quickly. Now, sometimes it takes a little harder to find than others, but you got the big win, and I think you got some meat on the bone to chew on or to have them kind of don't be too complacent with this.
No, you're dead on, man. It's nice that, you know, the scoreboard looks good, 52-0. Everybody's patting everybody on the back, but there's plenty of things left for us to clean up. We didn't play to our standard in a lot of areas, and it's a lot nicer to be able to make in those corrections after the result we had. And, you know, I tell our staff all the time, when we win, you need to coach the guys really hard. And why? Well, because everybody's girlfriend and mom and everybody in the neighborhood's telling them how great they are, you know? And I'm like, well, we're not that far off from getting humbled real fast if we don't improve, because the you know, competition gets real here real fast, and we've got to elevate our play and play to a different standard. But always good to get a win. Great start for the year. Fantastic crowd. I thought our student section was amazing last Thursday night watching them. But plenty of things for us to improve upon.
Coach, one of the things, man, watching Darian Mensah, he is everything that I know you've been on with us a couple of times. You talked about his poise and how well, you know, you don't know until you know how they handle a situation, because you can do great in practice, and sometimes that's a carryover, and then sometimes there's guys that are really good in practice. Man, they hit the lights, not quite the same. What impressed me the most was he throws a dart to Dante Fleming in the end zone. Dante didn't come down with it, with the catch. He goes right back and he hits it with another player for a score. And I think for a young guy in his first game as a collegiate player, that showed me all I needed to know, that he had a lot of poise. He was steady behind the wheel and he just kept going at it.
Yeah, dead on. He's very cool. He's very calm. He's very collected. He's got great poise about him. You know, we had seen that all through spring practice. You had seen it all through summer workouts. And we felt it all there in training camp. But to your point, we're not talking about a guy that was just getting his first start last week. We're talking about a guy that was getting his first in-game college football action.
Yep.
And it happened to be a start, right? And so you don't know. You're exactly right. There's certain guys that – maybe they look good in practice, and in the games they don't quite play to what you see in practice. And so for me, my biggest concern going to the game wasn't is he capable, but just making sure that he focused on being himself and not worrying about the moment or what could come with it, and just, you know, playing within himself and trusting his teammates and executing at the line of scrimmage the right way and being efficient with his communication. And he did that so well. And, you know, to your point about, you know, the missed opportunity on the drop, and then he came back and he threw the touchdown to Yul Keith.
Yep.
I think maybe my favorite thing from the entire game with Darian was when Ty Thompson scored his first rushing touchdown. and the first guy off our bench to go celebrate with Ty was Darian Mensah. Well, that tells me as much about the guy as anything else. Is like, hey, here's a guy playing the same position that's coming to take you off the field so we can run a different package with a different player. And he's celebrating that guy's success. And that's what this game's all about. I mean, we all know only one quarterback can get the ball, and that's the nature of the beast. But being there for your teammates, encouraging your teammates, and celebrating their success too, that's what being a great teammate looks like. And that's kind of who the kid's been. That's who he's shown to be. And I'm proud of how he handled the moment. Now, things are going to speed up on him a little bit. You know, the rush is going to get a little faster. The windows are going to get a little tighter. We're going to play a little bit different type of club this week. And but really, the biggest thing for him is just play within yourself still and trust the process of your preparation.
I was talking to an NFL GM today, and he told me, man, let early success happen to Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then you get a little film on them. And everybody sees what they can do really well and what they can't do. Now, college is one thing, the NFL is another, and we'll see how good it is. That's what made C.J. Stroud such an impressive player last year, because he continued it throughout the entire year. But you had to also like the fact you ran the ball 39 times, 241 yards rushing, 6.2 yards a carry. Coach, if you run the ball 39 times in a game, you winning. That's all I know. That stat of over 30 carries or more and you win 88% of the time. But when you average in 6.2 yards a carry, that showed a big – because, listen, that's no preseason for college football. There ain't no jamboree game, okay? This ain't high school football, no jamborees. For you to have that kind of balance to scale with the passing game, but also 241 yards rushing and average 6.2 yards a carry, that really showed up big.
Yeah, I thought as the game went on, we ran the ball more effectively. Early in the game, we missed a couple of targets that were moving up front. And, you know, sometimes you have to kind of find the rhythm within the game, maybe what a team's doing structurally up front to combat your run game. But we've got an experienced offensive line, and we got obviously Mekhi is sort of a household name, but really the carries were distributed amongst a lot of guys last Thursday. And, it, you know, everybody talks about, you know, you can throw to score, but you got to run to win.
Yep.
And teams, you just mentioned the stats about, you know, how many times you run the football and how much it correlates to winning the game. At the end of the day, I don't care what your style of play is, whether it's a spread system or a pro style system or a huddle system or a tempo system, I mean, you got to be able to run the daggum football. And if you can't run the ball, you have a hard time really competing with anybody, anywhere. And that bodes well, I think, maybe for opportunity to have long-term success. We got to keep building upon that. Like I said, I thought we started a little bit slow in the run game. I thought we kind of got it going as the game went. It's going to be a critical factor in this week's game. It, you know, Kansas State's been really good running the football and really good stopping the run. So we got to make sure we hold our own there at minimum in that part of the game. But excited to see our guys have some success on the ground. And you know, when you got a young quarterback, if he can run the football, it makes his job a whole hell of a lot easier too. And so it's nice for the kid to be able to have some backs and an offensive line that he feels, you know, we feel comfortable can help lead the charge at some points for him.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach, before we get to that K-State game, I want to ask you about Rayshon Pleasant, who was named the AAC Defensive Player of the Week. We all know that 100-yard pick six at the very end of the first half, and you know the announcers were talking about it on air, saying that, oh, Southeastern's made some plays, but they've made some big mistakes, and none in the first half were bigger than that. Rayshon Pleasant getting a huge pick six, the sophomore defensive back. And we had talked with you, I think it was last week or maybe a couple weeks ago, about the overturn kind of in the defensive back room for this Tulane Green Wave team. And what did you just see kind of early on from, you know, Rayshon Pleasant and then the secondary in general?
Yeah, you know, Rayshon, proud of him. He's had a couple of injuries here. He's a really talented kid. He's from North Louisiana up near Monroe. And he's a really quality kid, a hard worker. So anytime you see a guy that's invested so much in his craft like Rayshon has, it's great to see the reward come for him. And on that play, too, tremendous effort by him, but so many guys – our defense giving great effort. You know, Kyler Grubb's block on that return is something I'll never forget because he sprinted his tail off to go lay out a 300-pound offensive lineman, you know, and he gave his body up for his teammate. And so many of our guys executed that return so well by getting in the way and running down the field. And some guys delivered big blows. Some guys just kind of shielded a guy and were smart by how they ran interference to help escort Rayshon down the field. And, you know, I thought we played okay in the secondary. You know, the ball was out quick a lot. And that didn't really give our pass rush much of an opportunity to work. And our secondary, there were some nuanced things that I thought we could handle better. You know, sometimes maybe if we're playing soft coverage, we need to disguise better and not show it so quick to give the access throw. You know, and understanding maybe just some formation things that can give you some tips to what routes could be coming. I think we've got solid players, but I still think we got a lot of room to grow in just our detail back there. And, you know, Rayshon did a nice job. Jonathan Edwards and Michael Robinson did a solid job. And Slim DeSpaney's kind of been the bell cow around here that's returning. And Caleb Ransall, some of those guys are good players. But I think as a group, we got to continue to grow. One other thing I thought we didn't do a great job of at times is just understanding crack blocks and when it releases a player from coverage and maybe leveraging the football and triggering on the run at the right time. And when a certain blocking scheme pulls a secondary player into the run, so I thought we were a touch delayed at some of those things, just recognizing them. But we'll get better at that. We got to get better at it quick, though.
Coach, one of the guys caught my eye, and he's a great story, and that's Cameron Hamilton. Saw him when he was at Zachary, and, man, he gives you some edge pressure, and he's pedal to the metal every play.
Great kid, you know, hard worker. He's got great length and athleticism. And, you know, the play he made, the first drive of the game, myself and Greg McMahon, our special teams coordinator, we decided to go after the punt, and it was really my call. And we didn't execute the rush the right way. We ran to the punter and went three and out and then gave him a new set of downs. And that was unfortunate because we had a guy not rush on the shield with the proper leverage, and he ended up kind of running to the punter a little. But gave him a new set of downs. They moved the ball. And Cam, down after they got on our side of the field, Cam made a really special play. He was in the stack. He was kind of stunting from a four technique to a three. He was to the reduction side. And in that, he took on a blocker in the interior offensive line. We had a couple guys free to make the play on the back. They just flat out missed the play. And Cam popped out and forced a fumble, and I thought he really played a solid game. I mean, I thought, you know, Rayshon Pleasant obviously played great. I thought Cam played really well, and I thought Tyler Grubbs played at a really high level. And so proud of Cam and his contributions. He's a great kid, great story, and a really good teammate, a very likable kid just by how he carries himself.
And, Coach, we said we were going to get into it, and let's just jump right in. Kansas State coming into Yeoman Stadium this upcoming weekend is obviously very exciting. K-State picked second in the preseason poll at the Big 12 behind Utah. Very, very close, though. It was about a seven-point separation there. And as you kind of mentioned, the rushing attack and defense was on full display in their opener against UT Martin, where they won 41-6. They rushed for 283 yards, and they held UT Martin to 36 yards. The difference of 9.1 yards per carry versus 0.9 yards per carry is pretty stark, Coach. So what can you kind of tell us about K-State? You know, their rushing attack, their rushing defense, and what else kind of stands out about them heading into this year, the number 17 team in the country?
Yeah, everything you just said, you're dead on. I mean, they're great at running the football. They're great at stopping the run. And, you know, they're committed to the run game offensively. The quarterback, they didn't run him as much as I expect him to moving forward. He's a tremendous athlete. He's the fastest kid on their team is what I've been told. He's got real speed. The Avery Johnson kid, you know, he's the starter. They asked the Will Howard kid, I guess, to move on to Ohio State so they could start this kid. And so that tells you enough about how they feel about him. He's a talented player. So they're really good at running the football and playing physical at the line of scrimmage, and their receivers make plays down the field off their run action shot plays. And then defensively, they play a three safety scheme where they can kind of give you some targeting issues if you're not really sound in how you're blocking things up. And so that can present issues in its own right. And then I think probably the area where they stand out to me the most is honestly is on special teams. I think you look at Chris Klein, he's been the head coach there now 6 years, and they blocked three punts in the last year and a half, last 15 games. They blocked one last week against Martin. They blocked two last season, and they're really good on special teams. They got good depth on their special teams. They got a core group of players that play a lot of snaps on their special teams units, especially the four core teams. And so that's where we got to be really sound, is challenge our punt team today to play at a high level, and our kickoff team has to improve after last week's performance. I don't think we're very good there. And so we're going to have our work cut out for us. But this is a quality team. They're the type of team, they're very well coached. They're very disciplined. They're very detailed. And they don't beat themselves. You got to earn it against them. They don't give you anything. And so we've got to do the same thing and be really sound in what we're doing and just make sure we play good, clean football.
Coach, last question for you. This is the type of game, giveaway, takeaway, it's going to play such a big part of it.
Yeah.
You'd love to be on the plus side, but if you could, even because they've always been a team, I'm not saying they're a big play team. They like to kind of grind it out. They'll make a play on special teams or on defense. They love to run the football, but man, it's one of those deals. If you're turning the ball over, you're not beating this team. They too fundamentally sound. And that goes back to the coach's days at North Dakota State, where it was the same thing there. They kind of wanted to beat you up in the trenches and sort of, okay, if you want to play small ball, that's good. I'll play that with you. And they were really good at it. And he's taken that mantra sort of to Kansas State.
No, you're exactly right. They'll run the football and they'll milk the clock and they don't turn it over and they count you turn it over. And, the way they run power, like their power O play kind of resembles to me their team. They're, a lot of people now run power a little bit wider. They're still an A-gap to A-gap power team. And they're downhill, they're physical, and that's just the nature of how they play the game. I have a ton of respect for how they play, and I do think you're dead on. I think the turnover margin's critical in this game. It'd be nice for us to steal a possession or two and find a way to get the ball off of them and protect the football. I mean, that usually bodes well for giving you a shot to be successful in any game, but I think in this game, even more so, the importance there is glaring, because this is a team, I've coached against them, and I've talked to several people that have played against them in their league. And they're like, man, if you don't watch out, they'll lull you to sleep. You'll think the game's not moving real fast. And you'll look up and you'll be down a couple scores. And you're like, how'd that happen? And so we got to be really sound. And going back to what I was saying earlier, we just can't beat ourselves. We got a hard enough opponent on the other sideline this Saturday. We don't need to do anything to beat ourselves. And so the wave can't beat the wave. We got to be sound in what we're doing there and play good football.
Coach Summerall, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck this coming Saturday against Kansas State, and don't turn the ball over.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Come on now. I might need you to come tell my guys that, too.
All right. We'll do it. Thank you, Coach.
Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Coach.
That was Coach John Summerall on our TruLane Tuesday, and that was brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.